Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Reporting what I saw, but the flames would come up and burn their flesh off, and they would scream, and then the flames would come up again and burn more, and it's just the most horrific sight. There were all kinds of different shaped demons, you know, some 12 and 13 feet tall, some 3 and 4 feet. Some were the shape of spiders, and they were like 3 and 4 feet across.
Oh, my.
So, like, spiders that big. I mean, snakes and every gross thing you wouldn't want to see. There's maggots in hell. Isaiah 14:11 talks about where the maggot will be spread under thee and will cover thee.
Now, Jim Rome.
Today we have Bill Weiss as our guest. He's the author of New York Times bestseller, 23 Minutes in Hell. We are going to pick up from where we left off last program. Go ahead, Bill.
Black darkness. And I mean not just a darkness, but an evil presence about the darkness. Because there's no love there of any kind. There's only hatred. And you could feel it. It would penetrate through your very being. And you could feel it. That's not an exaggeration. Exodus 10:21 talks about a darkness that may be felt. You can actually feel darkness. And so the only reason I could see was because the Lord let me see a little bit. And by the flames, I don't know if that was, again, God allowing me to see. But even if it was, it was so dark, I could only see through the flames. The light from the flames did not light up, illuminate the area like it would here. It's so dark, it just consumed any of the light.
The light was like sucked up.
Just, right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So again, to be in darkness, demons that can torment you. There's nobody going to come rescue you. There's no cavalry coming over the hill. You're alone in this place and isolated. I don't care how tough you think you are. You end up in hell. You're nothing. You're weak, and you have no defenses whatsoever.
You said something in your book about there were separate pits with people in little pits that you...
Right alongside that big pit, I could only see a little bit right along the edge from the light, and right along the edge there were individual pits of fire, like 3 and 4 feet across, people in their own individual pits. I don't know why that was, some in an individual pit and others in the big pit. I'm just reporting what I saw, but the flames would come up and burn their flesh off, and they would scream, and then the flames would come up again and burn more, and it's just the most horrific sight. There were all kinds of different shaped demons, you know, some 12 and 13 feet tall, some 3 and 4 feet. Some were the shape of spiders, and they were like 3 and 4 feet across.
Oh, my.
So, like, spiders that big. I mean, snakes and every gross thing you wouldn't want to see. There's maggots in hell. Isaiah 14:11 talks about where the maggot will be spread under thee and will cover thee and will feed sweetly on thee, Job 24:20. So these are all the things. A maggot eating at your flesh for all eternity.
Mm.
Remember, Jesus said, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched.
The worm doesn't die.
Mm. Right.
Yes.
Now, here in life, I didn't know this, but I learned this from John MacArthur's teaching on hell, where he said that, you know, if an animal is being eaten, a dead animal is being eaten by maggots, well, when the flesh is consumed, the maggots die. I never realized that, but
I
maggots
didn't know
die.
That. Mm-hmm.
And, but see, that's where Jesus said, where their worm dies not, because the flesh is never fully consumed. So they feed on you sweetly like that. I mean, how horrendous.
How horrendous.
And, you know, you're completely separate from God. There is no God that's ever going to come help you. The Lord is not going to get you out of this place. You're lost there for all eternity.
Mm.
And Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And we know that the truth is Jesus, because he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So they have no hope for the only one that could save them is Jesus, the truth, and they have no hope for him.
Mm.
So that was really, Jim, the worst part of hell was not only being separated from God, but knowing that you'll never, ever get out.
Never have any hope ever
right.
again.
Mm-hmm. You know, and here in life, people, even if they have a terrible situation, they can always die to get out of it. I mean, I know
yes.
that sounds terrible, but at least you can die to get out of your pain.
Mm-hmm.
But in hell, you can't get out of it ever. So that's why the hopelessness is so, so terrible. So people need to know that, hey, this place is real. You do not want to take a chance on going to this place.
These creatures that you said, spiders and various ugly creatures, where were they at?
I was around this tunnel going around me that went up like a tunnel. And all around the sides were these creatures, around the sides.
Hanging on the sides.
They were hanging on the sides. A lot of them were chained.
Chained.
To the walls. I can't explain that. I can just tell you they were chained up to the walls, these demons, these creatures, and gigantic spiders and snakes.
These fallen angels were chained in darkness.
Yeah, there is a scripture about that. Yeah, I know that it was just these particular ones were chained. I was glad they were, that they couldn't get at me. But there were so many of them all over the place. And
were they watching you?
Yeah, they were. These particular ones were trying to get at me, but they couldn't because they were chained up.
Oh, my.
They had this hatred for mankind. And, you know, I didn't understand that. But, you know, Jesus said in John 15:18, they hated me before they hated you. And so the demonic realm hates God, but it can't hurt God, per se, but it can hurt his creation.
Wow.
So that's why they hate man. And
that's how they get to God.
Right, and that's why there's such destruction and evil that we see on the earth. It's you know, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy, John 10:10. So that's where the hatred and the terrible things that we see in the earth, the destruction, comes from the demonic realm.
To some people today, that's going to be the answer they've been looking for. Like, why all this hate, and where does it come from, and is God responsible? And
right.
These are questions.
That's right. But there's a lot of controversy about hell. A lot of people don't believe in hell. A lot of Christians even believe in things like annihilationism, which is a teaching that says that if you deny Jesus, and when you die, you just simply cease to exist.
Annihilation.
Right, annihilationism or conditional annihilationism. There's all forms of it, but none of it's true. It is eternal, and Jesus said, Matthew 25:46, these shall go into everlasting life, and these shall go into everlasting punishment. And he used the same word, everlasting, as the word ionios. So just as heaven is eternal, so is hell eternal. And that's why he warned where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have to exist to weep and gnash your teeth.
Yes.
He said you'll never see light. Psalms 49:14 and 49:19, you'll never see light. Well, you have to exist to never see it. And many, many verses about where the torment ascends up forever and ever. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. No rest from the torments or anything.
What you're saying is we exist forever, and it'll either be one place or the other. We exist forever. And this annihilism you were talking about.
Right, annihilationism.
They believe that we just die like an animal. Is that what they believe?
Well, yeah, right. There's the atheist, of course, that believes that nothing, nothing happens after you die. You just cease to exist. Well, there's a lot of Christians that believe that, you know, you go to heaven if you believe in Jesus, but if you don't, that you again cease to exist. So that's a lot of Christians believe that.
You're telling me the Bible doesn't agree with that.
Right. What did he save us from? If we cease to exist, why did he go through all the suffering on the cross and die a horrific death to save us from nothing? Why are there degrees of punishment? You shall receive the greater damnation, inferring there's a lesser. Or it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city, Matthew 10:15, inferring there's a less tolerable. Hebrews 10:28. Mentions how much worse of a punishment suppose ye shall you receive, you who have trodden underfoot the Son of God. There's a worse punishment.
There's degrees of punishment, and that is supported by the Bible.
Matthew 23:14, Matthew 10:15, Luke 12:47 talks about being beaten with many stripes or beaten with few. Hebrews 10:28, Psalms 86:13. I could go on.
Oh my!
But you know, the great right throne judgment when all people stand before God, all unsaved people, in Revelation 20:13-15, it says they'll be judged for their works.
Okay.
And so you'll be judged according to your works, and then if your name is not found written in the book of life, you are cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. So those people, their name's not in the book, and they'll be all cast into the lake of fire.
There's that lake of fire again.
Yeah.
Was it Paul that said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, every man's work will be tried by fire?
And here's one of the common misconceptions people have. There was a Barna poll, a 2006 Barna poll, that showed that 54% of Americans generally believe that if they're good, they'll go to heaven. If they're bad, they go to hell. That's the common misconception. People think, well, if I'm a good person, I'll make it. But it's not based on being good. It's based on a relationship. And I gave an analogy in my second book. This might help people to see. If you went and knocked on, you found the most expensive home in the country, you went and knocked on their door, and you said, excuse me, I'm moving in with you. What do you think the people would say? No, they don't know you.
Yeah.
And you say, but I'm a good person. Let me move in. Well, it's not based on being good. So people that go through their whole life and have nothing to do with God and deny Jesus as the Son of God, which he said is the only way to his house, then they come knock on his door at the end of their life and say, excuse me, I'm moving in with you because I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, it doesn't make any sense. You have no relationship with him, and you wouldn't expect him to let you move in. He's not your father.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if you don't receive Jesus, then he's not your father. He's your creator, but he's not your father. So you have no right to live at his house. That's an unreasonable request. And so, again, it's not based on good. You know, I wouldn't be justified in saying, Jim, that you were mean because you wouldn't let me live at your house. Right?
Because
we have no relationship. But I shouldn't expect you to, you know. And the same thing with God. We have to have a relationship with him. Then we can live at his house.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. It's not based on being good or bad.
That relationship. Mm-hmm.
Right. And one more analogy that might help people, because a lot of people think, well, you Christians are narrow-minded. You think you're the only ones that's right. Well, I gave this analogy to one guy, and I said, look, say you invited me over to dinner, and you told me to go south on Highway 95, turn right at Main Street, go up the hill, you'll come to my house. That's the only way to my house. And I say to you, you know, I think I'm going to go north on 95. I'm going to get off at Beach Boulevard, because I think all roads lead to your house. That's what I think. Well, you're going to tell me, Bill, you're not going to get to my house. I'm trying to give you clear directions. It's the same way God gives us clear directions to his house. I think God knows where he lives. All we have to do is follow his directions, and we'll get there. We don't follow him, we don't get there. We send ourselves to hell, and that's not narrow-minded, that's specific.
It's a default position.
Right.
God has made the way that all can come to God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, covers all sin. So the way has been made, but some people are not going to go that way, is what you're saying.
Right,
they're going to try to go south on 95 instead of north and so forth. Uh-huh. Interesting point.
Well, it's, you know, God gives man a choice, a free will. And he tells you clear in the Bible, here's how you get to my house. If you want to follow directions, you can live at my house. If you don't, then you choose not to go to my house. There's only one way to my house. He makes it clear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. I don't care how you were raised. I'm not here to preach anybody. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what you were raised with.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one way.
Mm-hmm.
And he said so. So why not just take his advice?
Yes.
And listen and say,
why fight it?
Why do I want to take a chance? You know, our soul, he made our soul eternal because he made us in his image.
We are eternal like God. Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the soul of man will go on, and it can only go to heaven or hell. There's no other place made for it to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you deny the only way to get into heaven, well, you just send yourself to hell. You see, and people have this wrong concept. They think God's up there pointing to one, saying, okay, you go to heaven, you go to hell, you're going to heaven. It's not that way at all. All of us are already on the road to hell because we're all sinners. That's why he came and planted a cross right in the middle of that road. So all that would look up to the cross and call out on him and say, you know, Lord, I am a sinner. I can't get there on my own. I'm not good enough. And if they would be humble enough to admit that we're not good enough, that we need him, that it's by his shed blood, then we'll have forgiveness of sins and it'll take us to heaven. It'll take us off that road. We have to be humble enough to admit that. But a lot of people are not. You know, they want to think they're really good, and God's going to show them, you know, okay, you probably are pretty good compared to people, but not compared to God's standard.
Mm-hmm.
He demands perfection.
Question, why is there hell, or where did hell come from? Why is there a hell?
Well, first of all, Jesus said in Matthew 25:41 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Oh, for the devil and his angels, not for men.
Right. He never intended for man to go to this place. He made it for the devil and his angels.
Mm-hmm.
And but he gives man a choice again. And the reason why hell is so terrible is because God has withdrawn his attributes from this place.
You see,
all the good we enjoy, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above from the Father of lights.
Mm-hmm.
And that Psalm 33:5 said, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Yes.
So the good we enjoy is not just, you know, there by accident. It's there by God's design. It's from God.
Mm-hmm.
So hell is dark because 1 John 1:5 said God is light.
Mm-hmm.
There's only death in hell because John 1:4 said God is life.
Mm-hmm.
There's only hatred in hell because 1 John 4:16 said God is love. There's no mercy in hell because Psalms 36:5 said the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
There's no strength in hell because Psalms 18:32 said it's the Lord that gives us strength.
Yes, interesting. Mm-hmm.
And there's no water in hell because Deuteronomy 11:11 says water is the rain of heaven.
Mm.
So you see, if you remove God from the situation, then all the good goes with him.
Yeah.
There's no good thing left. There's no good thing apart from God.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the sunshine, the fresh air, the water, people say, oh, isn't Mother Nature wonderful? No, that's not Mother Nature. That's Father God that provided that.
Amen. Well, some try to blame God for creating the devil. And what would you say about that?
Well, he made the devil perfect.
Yes, he started out as a good fellow. Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 talk about that he was made perfect.
Yes.
There was nothing, no fault. He was absolutely made perfect. But he wanted to be worshipped as God.
Yes.
And that sin arose in him. Pride arose in his heart. And he thought, you know, I'm the best. I should be worshipped.
Yes.
And pride arose in his heart. Now, that wasn't God's plan. But
no.
He chose to do that way and rebel against God.
Well, Satan did have power then at that time because,
right.
Well, he made that choice.
He had a choice.
I've heard that he perverted what God provided was good. He perverted and made it evil. For example, love would be perverted to hate.
Exactly.
And he is the creator and maker of evil.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But they say, well, yeah, but God made the devil, you know, and... Well, no, he didn't make them like that.
No.
And the devil did have power, and he did have strength, and he did work with God. He had a position in heaven.
Right.
And one-third of the angels with him had a position.
Right.
And they weren't just idle positions, but productive positions in which they perverted. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Just like we see a newborn baby, an innocent, beautiful baby born today.
Mm-hmm.
And that baby can grow up and make its own choices and become a mass murderer. God didn't
yes.
make him a mass murderer.
No.
You see, they chose to go that way.
Now, the Lord has gave us the ability, the right to make choices. But in the creation, in doing creation, those choices were choices for good because we were under God, rulers of this earth. God gave dominion of the earth to man, and our choices were for good. It was for management, not for evil. God then say, you can choose good and you can choose evil. Now, his original plan, as I see it, was that we can choose between two choices of good. So the choice of evil, that came as a perversion. It's still a perversion today. I hear people say, well, you can choose good or you can choose evil. That wasn't God's intention and plan in creation.
Exactly. But right now, people do have that choice.
We do.
God does not force anyone. And he doesn't force himself on anyone. People are without excuse also because, you know, in creation, like in Romans 1,
yes.
it gives us creation.
Yes.
And it is so obvious that there's a God because of the design. You see design everywhere around us. There's design.
Yes.
In the plant life, in the animal life, in the human beings, the order that we see, we know since there's design, there must be a designer. So
Amen.
You're without excuse. There is a creator, and you know that in your heart. Also, God gives you a conscience
mm-hmm.
to know that there's a right and a wrong and that there is a God. He puts that in everybody's conscience.
Interesting.
And then, thirdly, he gives us the word of God. So he put everything in writing. You know, I've been in real estate, and we always look for things in writing. God put everything in writing and told you exactly how he thinks and how to get to heaven and so forth. We just have to read the book. Fourthly, he gives us people, witnesses that come across our path. We have radio and TV, like we're on right now,
mm-hmm.
radio and media and CDs and DVDs, so people can hear the word that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a last thing. There's a scripture in Job 33 that says, he even gives man dreams and visions to keep back his soul from the pit.
That's like what happened to you.
Right. And, well, I was already a Christian, but there's people that are not a Christian, because this was just a vision for me, but people that are not, like they always point out the guy in the remote mountains of, you know, Africa or someplace that never heard of the gospel. Well, God says he'll give them dreams and visions to keep back their soul from the pit. So people are without excuse, number one, because of creation. You know, when you look and you see there's design, you know there's a God, and automatically it should make you cry out and say, there's a supreme being higher than I am. How do I get to know him?
Yes.
Lord, reveal yourself to me. And if you call out for him, he will reveal himself to you. You'll find out about Jesus. So
I grew up on the Bible, and the Bible was read to me every day and one end to the other and over and over. But when I went to church a little later in my life and I heard the message of the cross and the gospel, you know, I kind of balked about it. I said, ooh, this is terrible. I don't like this blood type of thing and crucifixion. But God's Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, right then and there, you listen to what this man is saying and you do what he tells you to do. Yeah. I was really surprised. Here I heard God's voice, and of course I tried to tell people, but not many people really thought I was, you know, on the level there.
Right.
I guess you've had that experience yourself.
Yes. And, you know, right, exactly. And even with my experience, you know, I'm not here to convince anyone to believe my experience or espouse my experience anyone. What I'm here to do is to point them to the Word of God, to believe the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters. So if people would just at least research, check out what the Word of God has to say. You don't need to believe me. Believe what the Word of God has to say. That's all that matters. And if they'll put forth a little effort, they'll find out that, hey, the Word of God is true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most people don't ever check it out. And a lot of people, you know, it's interesting. If we go on a vacation, we check out the sites, the hotels, the restaurants. We do some investigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet most people do no investigation on where they're going to go after they die.
In fact, they'll fight it. They don't want to hear. Is that
right?
Wouldn't you say that's the case?
They do. And here they put a great deal of effort into a short vacation and no effort into eternity. It's amazing, you know, and they'll fight it. Like you said, you want to share it with them or explain to them. And it's only to give them information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Mark Twain even said, we're all ignorant. It's just about different things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, so we all can learn from each other. And that's why we're going out to share with people the truth of God's Word and let them make the choice, but at least hear it, and
yes,
then you can make an informed decision once you've heard it.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
God bless you.
Thank you, Lord, for Jim, also, Lord, for blessing him, Lord, and what you've given him, the responsibility of a station like this, and getting the Word out, and moving on his heart, even to have me on, Lord. I'm so grateful, and thank you for him. Bless him mightily. Meet all his needs, Lord. We just thank you for blessing him and his family. And Lord, there be no lack in his household, Lord, and your protection, your angels encamped about him everywhere he goes. Thank you for great favor in his radio show expanding and growing, Lord, and multiplying, and many souls being saved through his ministry. And we just praise you for this man, Lord, and thank you for this great opportunity to have met him this way and been on his show. I'm so grateful, Lord. Thank you so much for what you've done and the souls that are getting saved from this program.
Yes.
We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Bill. Do you want to know more about Bill Weiss? Here's his website. It's www.23minutesinhell.com. Do you want to know where he may be speaking? Once again, his website, www.23minutesinhell.com. You know, Bill's experience has made it clear there is a hell. The Bible makes it clear there is a hell. My friend, you do not have to go to hell. God has made a way that you can escape. Do you need some help? Someone to help you find the way? I'd like to help. Well, I thank you, Lord, for these listeners. I ask you to lift the veil off the minds, hearts, and minds of those that heard the message today. I ask for your Holy Spirit right now to touch those hearts. Bring a conviction. Let them hear your voice like I heard your voice. And my friend, God is waiting to heal you, to save you, deliver you. You don't need to go to hell. God's made a way that you can escape. And you know, my friend, it's as simple as calling on the name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, deliver me. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, help me. Save me from this terrible pit. And I'll live for you forever. I'll live for you forever. I'll serve you.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. And when my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone. At the river I'll stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
You ask me why I keep on smiling when all the world's in such a mess, and I just have to say that there is just one way to find true lasting happiness.
Flying with Global Air Force.